guitarra. Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Q-Tip.
Where are you going? Who are you going with?
Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day. And definitely want to get to our guests as quickly as possible. I would love to introduce Bianca McCann, rock star, to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, Brian. I'm really excited to be here. I was just rocking out to that music, so I'm good now. I'm ready to roll.
I'm telling you, that music makes me smile and laugh because I don't know what's coming up every single day. So perfect segue, by the way, to... If you would, introduce yourself to our Drive Through HR family, and then we'll get into it.
Sounds good. Well, I'm Bianca McCann, and I'm the Director of Global Talent Management, Leadership, and Organizational Effectiveness at SAP, and I take care of our global customer organization. It's about 30,000 employees, and the employees are from sales, services, and from cloud. So nice little mix there, and I do all kinds of fun stuff from integrated talent management. I partner with sales on and our customers on finding HR solutions that will work for them. I do personal branding work internally. You name it, I get the fun job. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's a big job too. It sounds amazing and huge, and I've just heard some really, really pretty amazing things about you. So this is going to be a great show. So what currently kind of keeps you up at night within HR?
You know, it's so funny. I've been kind of thinking about this. There's so many topics, but one thing that continues to be top of mind for me, and certainly in the work that I do, but also just personally, is sort of this whole issue of gender inclusion in the workforce and sort of the implications of that, the positive implications of that on the business. And so that's really been keeping me up at night. How can we tap into the brilliance of the female talent pool even better than we are today and sort of garner all that positive impact for the business?
So what do you think, I mean, kind of give us a jumping off point with that, because I know you deal with a large organization, but obviously we've got a wide mix of some of the biggest in the world to the one-person practitioner. So how do you kind of compartmentalize that to start thinking about where to, you know, where exactly to get that done?
That's a really good question. You know, I think it doesn't matter if you're a small company, mid-size, you own your own business, or you're a large company. The fact is that you need talent to run your business. And the fact is that the talent pool today is pretty much half and half, half female, half male. And what's really interesting is the majority of degrees that are being earned today are mostly going to women. In fact, we even have a lot of data that shows us that consumers are mostly women. Women control up to 75% and wield this purchasing power. And so it doesn't matter what your business is, whether you're delivering a product, a service, you name it, women are your customer, and they're also the changing face of the workforce. So I think that's how I would approach it if I was thinking about running my business. I mean, this is sort of the future. This is sort of who holds the money.
Well, that's interesting, so, Brian. Well, I'm sorry, Brian.
No, go ahead.
So, yeah, I would like to, you know, you've been working with so many female leaders at your organization and even outside the organization, Bianca. So I'd like to know, what are the biggest, or what is the biggest obstacle for women to get into a leadership role, at least in an organization?
I love that question. And so this whole concept of barriers is really interesting, because the next thing that comes is really sort of typically an emotional response, or an us versus them, or, you know, this whole thing, man versus women. But it's really not about that. I mean, the barriers that exist are mostly cultural, mostly organizational, and there are reasons that they exist. You know, they're rooted in history of organizations, and certainly the history of business, which is mostly built on sort of male ideals. So it's not right or wrong, but the barriers that exist typically for women, at least in corporate America, and even in small and mid-sized companies, really will be kind of the following kind of big ones. You know, first of all, we'll find that women don't have a ton of access to those key networks. So male counterparts will have broader networks. Women will typically have deeper networks. They spend more time getting to know the relationship as opposed to sheer volume. But there's something to be said for sheer volume. So I think access to networks, I think access to key influencers is really critical. So who are those people that you need to know that can help pull you up through the ceiling into your next career? Men sort of do this naturally, but women sort of get kind of left behind. So that's a big one for us. The other barrier that I find is actually it's embedded in our talent management practices. Again, it doesn't matter if you're small, medium, or large. Managing your talent is really important. It's going to drive your business. Mm-hmm. And what I find in talent management practices, we're really looking at characteristics that typically are sort of pro-male in nature. So it's about a balanced approach, looking at the full gamut of leadership characteristics and building talent management practices that can be gender neutral.
Well, that's great. Well, at your organization, I'd like to hear some of the best practices that you do or some of the programs that you have at your organization to elevate this woman to the next level or let's just say, what are some of the elements that your organization do to make a change at your organization to give opportunities for this woman?
Absolutely. I think SAP's been pretty progressive. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff in this space, and you know, I think the technology industry in particular does a lot in this space because, you know, we get innovation, we get agility, and we get that those things are sort of better served with a more kind of diverse management team working on them. So some of the things that we're doing at SAP, I actually can share one in particular, are sort of targeted leadership programs for women. So I actually, in my role, have had the great opportunity and gift to create a leadership program for women, and I also run it, and it's been the most successful leadership program for women that SAP has had to date. And some of the things that we're doing in here are pretty basic, so I'll kind of share some of them. The first thing we're doing is we're working with women to say, you know, what is it that you want to do and where do you want to go? And really having them think about what drives them. Because meaning is so important for females in the workplace. They have to find meaning in their work to be able to be compelled to be engaged and to want to be present. So what drives you? What makes you run? Why do you want to be here? The next thing we do, and we do that with some standard tools that anyone can employ, 360 assessments, self-assessments, journaling. So whether you're a small, medium, or large-sized company, you can do these things. Asking people, what do you think about me? Getting external perspective on your internal brand. The other thing that we do is we do a lot of career planning, good old-fashioned career planning. Where do you want to go? Writing it down, telling people, letting them know, short and long-term career aspiration identification. And we also spend time doing networking and branding. So I do a lot of work increasing the women's visibility in the program, and this takes shape in a couple forms. They have the ability to meet with key executive sponsors, so super leaders in the organization are now accessible to them. The other thing that they've done is really worked hard on their personal brand. So they spent a lot of time figuring out what makes them unique, what makes them special, how are they contributing in a way that is a differentiator, and then how to articulate that as part of their sort of self-promotion campaign. And speaking of self-promotion, we spent a lot of time on crafting how do you self-promote correctly and appropriately to get positive return as opposed to any backlash. And, of course, we do, basic skill building. For female issues, it's interesting. A lot of people think that female leadership is based on getting them the skills that they don't have, but that's not true. The skills are there. We're simply just firming them up. So we do some skill building. And then finally, mentoring and sponsorship. So all the women in my program are in a LEAP circle. The program is called LEAP. And they spend time face-to-face with an executive sponsor in a group setting every single month working on issues that are important to them. And they also are working on a key business project so they can get visibility to the business. And we're talking about projects that go all the way up to the board.
Well, Bianca, I've actually got two questions, and I want to come back to what you just shared, and I want to get to kind of another comment that somebody had made on a show a few days ago that gender-specific. So basically had an executive that women can't really have it all. I mean, the balance and all that, I mean, you can't have, like, something's got to give, right, relative to – You can be an executive. You can be driven. You can have a family. You can be all that. But if you've only got 100%, and there's got to be a realistic balance of how that all gets managed. Not that it's bad or good, but it's just realistic that you're trying to be a mom, a wife, executive. From her perspective, just said that that's, you can't be everything plus 100, you know, 100% plus whatever. And I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I'll definitely have to catch that show. It's a really interesting perspective. You know, I think that person is right. I mean, I think in a lot of ways it's difficult to manage all the components that make up a working woman's life. But I actually think the truth is men are experiencing a lot of the same pressures at home and at work that women are. But what's different here, I think that the women, the barriers that women are experiencing in the workplace are not there for men. Again, it's not an us versus them. It's just an awareness issue. And so even though we're facing a lot of the same pressures, the degree of pressure, I think, is the issue. So I totally agree with that speaker that this is something that women face. But at the heart of it, I think it's probably cross-gender. I think the barriers at work are the bigger issue here.
Yeah, and she actually, to your point, she actually brought that up too. That's kind of just the balance that it's not – that's becoming – culturally, that's becoming much more prevalent. The balance for everybody. You can't have it all without some give and take. And so, yeah, very good point. My second question was mentoring. And why do you feel that mentoring is not more prevalent and just like a, you know, just a standard operating procedure to build and support and encourage a mentoring program within kind of the corporate setting?
That's a great question. And mentoring is really, really a fun space. So I'm glad you brought that up. I think, you know, mentoring programs exist. And again, this can apply to any business anywhere. Mentoring can be informal, formal, lots of things. But mentoring exists in large corporations, but it's not always very successful. And I think it gets a little funky when you're pairing people up. It's the whole, you know, chemistry. It's like dating, right? Match.com. It's mentoring.com. And it's really about finding the right match. And I, you know, it's so contrived, but the intent is so good, but it's so contrived as a process that it's difficult to match the right mentee with the right mentor, and it gets a little complicated. And so when it comes to mentoring in a corporate environment, I think that's why mentoring tends to not be as successful. It's that caring process. I think the most successful mentoring relationships really come out of finding your own mentor. Who are the people that you just like have been picking up the phone and saying, hey, can you listen to this issue that came up, or can you walk me through what I should do next? I mean, those people that you're naturally calling, those are your mentors. And they can be peers, they can be reverse mentor, people who are below you in rank, in age, you name it, and also senior. So I think mentoring is a really funny one, and I think we've made it so formal that we may have taken some of the sparkle out of it, and so hopefully we can get that sparkle put back in.
Well, that's interesting, Bianca. Well, going back to one of your points, as you said in the beginning about the diversity that we have when we embrace, you know, gender differences at an organization, I would think that, you know, this multicultural or a diversity training can help these women and men, you know, holistically to embrace their own differences at their organization. What do you think about it?
I think you are absolutely right. So it's funny because training is something everyone thinks is like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to go to training, and it's, like, boring, and it's, you know, whatever. But training can be really fun. And at FAP, we have a really awesome training that we run that's specifically on gender intelligence, and we've used that across the leadership board. I think at this point it's even a requirement in some parts of the organization. And it's been driving awesome results. And the results that it's been driving is just a deeper understanding and awareness around how women and men can work together more effectively, what their differences are. In the old days, we used to spend time thinking, you know, women should be more like men and, you know, what have you. But really, it's just about understanding men and women are different and both have really important things to add to driving your business. And these training programs, you know, it's nothing new. It's just sitting down and listening and spending some time together to impart and get that learning and to dialogue with each other. And in fact, dialogue is really interesting because dialogue is probably one of the most important things that we can do that's free, that organizations can go do right now today to move the needle on diversity, simply opening up the eyes and the ears on the topic. And training is a formal way to do that, but you can even do that for free just by having dialogue sessions. And I also call it, I refer to it as bring a man. We go to diversity conversations or we go to diversity trainings, and the room is full of women typically. Maybe there's one or two men in the room. And so I always encourage women who are going to these conferences or discussions or trainings, bring a man. Bring a man with you. It's about sharing the learning, the experience, and kind of imparting just good education.
That is awesome. Indeed. Well, for the, let's just say, for an organization who are totally new but then wanting to have some changes at their organization and wanting to embrace this gender diversity, but then how do they go about, you know, influencing or let's just say convincing their top management on how can women create change in their organization?
Hello, Bianca, are you there?
I guess we lost the connection with Bianca. No, she's already available online. I'm not sure I'm not able to hear anything from her. Well, we are talking at Drive-Thru HR, and today's show is all about gender diversity and women, especially women in leadership role at an organization. Well, we had wonderful conversation till now, and we were discussing all challenges that women might have leading to becoming an executive or to become a leadership role at an organization with Bianca McCann. She is the global human resources person from SAP, and yes, there she is. Hey, Bianca.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. No problem. You're still
That's
live
so weird,
on
Nisha. I could hear you the whole time. I just disconnected so I could call back in. I don't know what happened,
I know.
But I could hear you looking for me.
I'm
here.
Yeah, I know what happened. I don't know what happened because from on the board I can still see you are there online, but I'm not able to hear you. But I thought maybe some technical problem. Anyway, we are back. That's the good thing about it, and we are live
We're
on
back.
Air. So going back to our point, we were discussing about women getting back to a leadership role in an organization. So I asked you a question to our audience to help them, to say if it is a new organization and they want to embrace this gender diversity, how do they go about convincing their top management on how can women create change in their organization?
Yes, great. Good question. So I think, and like I said earlier, that just getting the leaders involved first and foremost is number one. Got to start at the top. So that's a great question. And the way to engage hearts and minds on this to create sort of the business case for change, and really that's critical, is to highlight the advantage, the financial improvement that can be sort of procured from having a more inclusive and diverse workforce. So it will take a little time and in building the case in some cases if you want to be able to quantify the return. There's lots of research now. But that's sort of number one. The reality is men and women together are more successful than just women or just men. And they say actually at least your management team should be at least 30% female if you're really going to start seeing some returns. So the first thing is build a business case for change that hinges on how this can improve profitability for the business. That's number one. Number two is the talent discussion. I think that the fact is that the talent shortage issue is here. You know, we don't even have enough talent to fill the very important roles that we need to run our business, and half of the talent pool are female. So the sooner we can get our heads around the fact that we want to acclimate and create an organization that is more inclusive, the sooner we're able to access that 50% talent pool to come in and join forces with us. It's a really important equation, and it's really important for HR professionals. It's one of the first things I've seen where we can literally tie directly to the business. We have a first-hand kind of role in facilitating this awesome improvement for the business.
That is so much truth in it, because If we work on a particular project, if men are working alone or women, we need a mix of diverse skills with men and women together and can create an awesome team out of it. But going back to one of the points that you said in developing women leaders at your organization is personal branding. So how do you go about helping your women executives or women employees at your organization in building their personal brand, yet it is matching to their employer brand?
That's an interesting question. And sometimes it doesn't match the employer brand, but typically it will. I mean, if you're screening your talent correctly and hiring, you know, against the profile that fits your business, the odds are they fit together. But occasionally we'll find that they don't. But assuming that they do fit together, you know, the first thing that we do for women is to really, or anyone, actually, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, when you're working on personal branding, is really to think about what drives you. You know, what are you really excited about and get you out of bed in the morning? That's number one, really thinking about that. And that doesn't come up in personal branding every time people talk about it. But for me, you need to be able to think about what gets you excited. And there's some goodness in that. There's something in there about your brand. And so we'll put that one on the side, and I'll come back to that in a moment. The other thing I have people do is go, the very basic, go collect some points of view other than your own, right? Because it's not about what people say about you when you're in the room. It's about what people say about you when you leave the room. That's really important. And so you want to catch those people when they're in the hallway and ask them, you know, what are a couple words that you would use to describe me? And so I actually ask the women to go ahead and, in my program, or anyone who I'm doing personal branding consultancy with, to go out and ask people, your husband, your best friend, your mom, you can ask them too. They may say nice things about you, but you never know. It can be anonymous. Colleagues, customers, direct reports, get a full gamut of people involved to say, what are the perceptions that people have about me? And once you've got that sort of kind of gathered together, sort of steaming together, what are the sort of key red threads that are popping out that people are kind of repeating when it comes to you? So that's number one, getting a sense of your brand that's out there. Brand is about discovery. It's not about invention. You're not inventing your brand. It's already out there floating in the atmosphere. You have to go collect it, bring it down to earth that you can start working on it. And then the next thing I do with women is really living your brand. Now, how do you take all those perspectives, perceptions, and either reshape them, you know, own them as your own, and embed them into how you show up at work, personally, professionally, you name it.
That's interesting. And one of my personal questions, which is somewhere related to this topic, but it's different. Let's just say women who have had a career break. Maybe they wanted to go for a continuing education or for their family reasons or for maternity or for their marriage or something happened in their career. They had a break of, let's just say, probably 1 or 2 years, and they wanted to come back to work world once again. What are your tips and advice for those women, people, or women professionals?
I have a couple of tips, and I think one of the things I would say is if you're a woman that's taking time out of the organization to do whatever it is that you're doing, because to be honest, women tend to be the caretakers, whether that's of children or the elderly or of a sibling or anyone in need, you're right. Women typically are the ones that step out to do those things. And so the first thing I would say is if you want to come back, make that known before you leave. Make sure it's really clear to your employer that, you know, that you're committed to coming back and that you're taking this leave of absence, but, you know, you intend to come back in X amount of time. Try and give them some sort of time horizon if you can and let them know you're interested. The other thing is to keep a thread to your manager and or a sponsor or mentor in the organization. Continue to stay in touch with them while you're away. And actually, I encourage even women who are just out on maternity leave, sort of short-term leave, to do the same. Keeping a conversation with your manager open is really important to make sure that you're still kind of top of mind. It's sort of like when emails get lost, you know, your 50th email of the day. You know, you want to be sitting floating at the top of the email stack. So you want to be so that you're not forgotten. And so I think that thread is really, really important. So those are two things. The other thing on a skill level is if you're gone for quite a while, you know, a number of years, I would really recommend continuing either certifications or working with maybe other groups in the area that have interests that are common to yours, getting on a not-for-profit board that has an interest that is connected to your work. It's anything that you can do that will keep your skills fresh and that you can stick on a resume and say, here's what I've been doing in the meanwhile. Now, certainly with caretaking responsibilities, it may be difficult to fit those things in. But where you can, it would be great to keep some connection to skill and to people who have a pulse on what's going on in your industry or in your function.
Great. So our final thought would be retention. How do we retain this female executive in an organization?
Wonderful question. And female retention, that leaky pipeline, that darn leaky pipeline is really an issue. Considering that women have so much to add to the organization, it's really important that we keep them there. And so first and foremost, if you want to keep your women, put more women at the top so that your women can see them there. Part of the reason that women leave organizations is they don't see anyone that looks like them. They cannot picture themselves in your organization long term because there is no one at the top that looks remotely or understands them like a female leader will. So number one thing, get some leaders in your management that are female and look like the rest of your workforce. That's sort of number one. The other thing that you can do to retain women, I think, is a cultural thing. Is again that education of men and women managers on the value and attributes of females. I'll give you a quick example. You know, yesterday I mentored this woman who attends university, getting a master's in HR at one of the top universities, Ivy League school in the world, and she says to me, I'm interviewing with this company and I'm considering the offer, but again, it's a brand name company, but she says, I don't want to work in a dude culture. Quote, that was her quote from yesterday. I thought, dude culture, okay. And she's not even in the workforce yet. And she's already feeling that this cultural pressure is so male, pro-male. And she says, I don't think I can be successful there. So we have to fix that impression. And that's an employer branding issue. That's a talent issue. That's an employee life cycle issue. So that needs to be fixed as well.
Interesting. Well, Bianca, it's been a wonderful conversation that we had today, and thank you for being here, sharing your lens with us. And finally, what are your thoughts for the young and upcoming women professionals to get into the leadership role, and how can they twist or tweak their career goals in terms of getting into a leadership role?
Some things that women can do, is that the question, Misha? What can women do to start the journey?
Yeah, the young and upcoming women leaders.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things that women can do right out the gate. First thing you can do is promote your accomplishments. This is the number one correlated career advancement strategy for women. Number one, it's the number one thing women can do is to go let people know the contributions that you're making to the business and the impact that they have. And if you can quantify them, even better. That's number one. If you're not letting your manager know how brilliant you are, we've got a problem. And number two, the most important thing that women can do is to go get an executive sponsor. If you don't know how to get one, talk to your manager about it. It is critically important. It is also it's probably the second most influential way that you can advance your career as a woman. It's critical. So those are the two things I would say. Go out and do them right now today.
Well, that's indeed a great thought. Most of them would face a difficulty in terms of promoting their accomplishment and how that can create a bigger impact for their organization. And if we are going to focus on that, your C-suite level or your managers would highly recommend why you need to get into a manager's or leadership role. That's interesting. Well, Bianca, thank you so much for joining with us today on this Friday. Hope you had a wonderful Halloween celebration at your organization. And look forward to talking to you once again. And finally, where can people connect with you, come and find you, or say hello to you?
You can hit me up on Twitter at HR Lightning, or I'm on LinkedIn at Bianca McCann. Those are probably the two, and then both of those will contain links to my blog, sparkleoutloud.wordpress.com, where we take all of life's little pieces that are thrown at us and make them as positive as we can for career and personal growth. And, Misha, I want to thank you and Brian for having me. I've had a wonderful time. So excited to have been here with you.
Great. Well, look forward to talking to you once again soon at Drive to HR. And to our audience, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you all next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.